Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Text us, the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, available to you at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminding you to text responsibly. We'll get into just the chain reaction that happens if the Patriots and Chiefs can't play in the next 48 hours. There is a story out there about a possible issue with the Saints and Lions today that we'll touch on as well, because the dominoes may start falling quickly in the NFL scheduling world, and we'll go over some of those issues next. Cale Berger joins me at the top of the hour, Pitt pre- and post-game host, to talk about their disappointing loss yesterday. But I've been watching so much postseason baseball, obviously the Pirates not involved, that I've the San Diego Padres have become my team. And it's not just because I know the Altavilla family, and Dan Altavilla is a reliever for them. He's from Elizabeth Forward. It's not just that. It's just they're a fun team to watch. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. And there's just a million different reasons to root on the Padres if you're looking for a team to adopt during this MLB postseason, not the least of which is that they are indicative, I think, of how an organization, I've said this about the White Sox several times this year, indicative of how an organization can turn their fortunes around rather quickly, which brings me to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Kevin Gorman covers the Pirates for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Good morning, Gormy. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. And I played for Dan Altavilla's grandfather when I played Tony Baseball North Baldwin. How about that one?
Where'd you play? Municipal or Lafferty?
It might have been his dad or his uncle. You know, they were on my team, and their grandfather was my coach.
It's the North Baldwin ties run deep, my friend. They run deep.
Yes, they do.
let me ask you, what is a fair timeline for Ben Cherington, given the pieces that he, the few pieces that he has in place right now, and given the lack of financial resources that we've seen committed to this team over the years, is it realistic to ask the Pirates to put them on the clock and say, hey, the White Sox turned it around in 3-4 years, the Padres turned it around in 2 or 3 years, or should we be more patient?
Well, Chris, being from Pittsburgh, I'd say, you know, 2022, you know, that's my timeline. Simple as that. You know, Chris, when you look at this this team, you know, you can look at it two different ways. One is you can look at the Pirates and Derek Shelton, the manager, you know, talked about how his team was always in the game and they were close, and they had, what, 15 games that they lost by one run and another 5 that they lost in extra innings. That this is a team that 7 of the 9 teams that they played this year in the Central Division, whether it was AL or NL, made the playoffs. That this is a team that, you know, all those teams were eliminated in the wild card round, not in advance. But, right. You know, this is a team that went 3-17 in interleague play, but not quite as bad, 16-24 against NL Central. So, you know, the scheduling had something to do with it. You can look at all of those things and rationale and say this team was a lot better than its record appeared, but you are what your record says you are. And,
right.
You know, when you watch this Pirates team, you think, well, if some of these guys hit at least what their career average is, it could have been a much better season. If you get, you know, regular seasons out of Josh Bell and Adam Frazier and Brian Reynolds, if just those three, you're going to have a better season. And if you have a full pitching staff that starts the season the way they finished it, you're going to have a better season. But I think realistically, to look at a team like the Marlins, who had 105 losses last year, and now we're in the divisional round, excuse me, to compare the Pirates to them, I don't think is fair, because I don't think the Pirates have that type of talent. I don't think they have that type of pitching. I don't think that they're as close as people would like them to be. And, you know, I think where you draw the line is, are the Pirates, you know, I had conversations with some baseball analysts this week, and, you know, the question was, are the Pirates, you know, should they tear it down to the studs, or are they already torn down to the studs? And that was where the Pirates have to kind of decide, is whether to make more moves. I mean, was Starling Marte the last big trade chip, or are they going to also trade, you know, Josh Bell and Joe Musgrove and Adam Frazier and the other guys that are proven major leaguers that have some value? And, you know, I think the one thing that everybody can agree on is that it looks like they found a keeper at third base and keep Ryan Hayes. It reminded me in some ways, and I'm not making a comparison, but it reminded me in some ways of watching Andrew McCutchen when he first came up and looked like he was playing at a different speed than everybody else. And that's just kind of reminded me of that. And I got the impression that this is a guy they can build around. This is a guy that's not a false hope. He's as good in the field as advertised, if not maybe better in some ways, and his bat was better than people imagined. So I think that's one building block, and I think they have a lot of young guys under team control that, you know, I think that's the key for the Pirates, is to decide, and I think that's what Ben Cherington's going to do, is decide what the framework is going to be moving forward. And I think if the Pirates were smart, they would adopt a model less like the San Diego Padres and maybe more like the Miami Marlins and the Oakland A's and small market teams that have basically built teams on defense, pitching, and speed, and trying to keep cost-controlled players there as long as possible, and being willing to say, we're not going to try to sign these guys to long-term extensions, but maybe more so have them play out their, you know, through their arbitration years, instead of trading them with 2 years of arbitration like they did Gerrit Cole, and, you know, and then take the comp pick, you know, when those guys leave in free agency. But, you know, maximize the time that they're with the Pirates, because trading these guys with a year or two left on their contract or in their arbitration hasn't worked for them under the previous regime.
What's interesting when you bring up a comparison to the Marlins rather than the comparison to the Padres or the White Sox, Kevin, is that when I look at the Marlins, I also see a team that's been willing to bring in veteran pieces. And it's been via trade rather than free agents. But, you see Corey Dickerson leading off for them. Until yesterday, Cervelli was a part of that organization. I know he just retired, and that's a separate conversation we could probably have about Cervi. But, you know, they make the trade for Starling Marte when they saw that they were going to be in it this year. And so I guess you can – you can fortify what you have in Hayes and Nick Gonzalez and Brian Reynolds, and maybe even Josh Bell becomes much for this organization, like what Will Myers has been in San Diego, a guy who was there for the down times and ends up figuring some things out at the plate. But you've got to fortify somehow. And if it's not going to be in free agency, which, okay, let's be honest with each other, they're definitely not giving anybody a Machado-like deal. If it's not going to be in free agency, then it's going to take some really gutsy trades, and that's going to involve moving guys that they may currently look at as a part of the future to bring back more in return.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you don't want to trade him at a low value, which is where Josh Bell is right now. You would have wanted to trade him maybe, say, last June, coming off that monster May that he had. But, you know, he's probably your best trade chip, and especially if the National League adopts the universal DH, and Josh Bell could be a DH for somebody who can, you know, give somebody a spell at first base if they need him, but not rely upon him defensively. He's going to bring you back your best return out of anybody. I just don't think the Pirates are going to give him away, given the years of control they have. But, you know, I remind people that as much as the Pirates have been criticized, and I'm not defending them, as much as they've been criticized, they were willing to add those pieces back in, you know, the 2013-15. If you remember, they added Marlon Byrd. They added Justin Morneau. Some of them didn't work out, but they added the veteran guys that they needed, you know, whether it was the corner outfield spots or other places. They were willing to do that. And, you know, sometimes it's hit and miss when you do those things. I think, you know, the thing they didn't do is when they A.J. Burnett retired, they, you know, they tried to replace him with Ryan Vogelsong, and you saw a major drop-off there. But, you know, I think the Pirates fans should be prepared for a couple years of drafting at or near the top of the Major League Baseball draft. And if they go by reverse order, then the Pirates should have the number one overall pick this year. And but I think, you know, if you're drafting in the top five or top ten, you should be able to draft guys that can be difference makers and relatively quickly. And you would hope that is the case of a guy like Nick Gonzalez, who was the number seven overall pick this past year. And you'd hope it's the case for whoever they draft number one overall. I think as much as people talk about Kumar Rocker, the pitcher from Vanderbilt, you know, it's a little early to say that he's, you know, the guy. But right now, at this point of time, he is the guy. We'll see what kind of spring he has. But either way, you have to draft somebody in the hopes that they can be a game-changing player for your organization the way that Gerrit Cole was. Because Gerrit Cole was, you know, the Pirates ace at, like, what, 23, 24 years old. And I know people got, you know, frustrated with him giving up so many homers, but he was a top of the rotation arm at a very young age for the Pirates, and I envisioned him being what he is for the Yankees way back when.
Gourmet, I appreciate the time this morning. I'm going to let you run. I thank you for getting up early, and it'll be interesting to see how this timeline progresses. I know I'm probably impatient and more impatient than most, but I think Pirate fans in general are just by our nature very impatient after so many years of struggling. We want to see him turn it around more quickly rather than in a more deliberate manner. So we'll see how it goes. It starts with this offseason.
I would hope that, you know, by 2022, 2023, that this team is, you know, competitive and contending. I would, you know, to answer your original question, I would think that that's the key, is that this is a team that they can't wait 5 years. They can't afford to do that to their fan base again. So hopefully it's sooner rather than later for all of our sakes.
Yeah. All right, Kev. Thank you again. I appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Same to you. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Kevin Gourmet of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He covers the Pirates. And yeah, if they can get themselves from where they are now to battling for a playoff spot, if not in the postseason, by 22, that would be, then Ben Charrington gets himself another contract, and everybody's happy, and we've got good things to talk about. I don't think that's too aggressive. Again, you look at the White Sox turning it around in 3 or 4 years. You look at the Padres turning it around in 2 or 3 years. If you draft and develop right, and you're not afraid to make some of the, as I put it earlier, and again, excuse my French, ballsy moves that need to be made, and if you're willing to extend yourself financially when the time comes, then you should be able to turn it around that quickly. 2022 does not seem unreasonable for the Pirates being in contention again. It doesn't. You can follow us on Twitter, at 93.7 The Fan. It's driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit them online and shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. Some breaking news in the world of the NFL that could affect today's schedule and could be another domino knocked down in what is quickly starting to look like a scheduling nightmare for the NFL. Because of positive COVID tests, and this is not Patriots-Chiefs related. We'll get into that and just what the house of cards could look like as it comes tumbling down for the NFL schedule. We talked Pitt at the top of the hour with our pre- and post-game host, Cale Berger. Jesse Marshall of The Athletic joins me at 8:40, and we talk about the Tristan Jarry contract extension, the upcoming NHL draft, now just about 48 hours away, and free agency just 5 days away. Doran Dickerson checks in the middle of the 9 o'clock hour as well. Chris Mack with you on 93.7 The Fan.